Tonight's learning should be from Menachem, Rav Shlomo Menachem Mendel Shlomo ben Chaya Rachel, Rav Shlomo Bekarov. Okay, so what you have in front of you, we're going to be going through, is a topic that if you've been around Hashivani, you've been around my brother and myself, but mostly my brother, you've heard a lot of these concepts before. I wanted to sort of put it together in a shir. And in addition, I also wanted to, the purpose of doing this is also because these are concepts that people consider a little fluffy sometimes. And I think if you have the source in front of you, you realize there's a lot of depth there. So in this week's parasha, we're told of the bris of Yitzchak Avinu. Yitzchak Avinu is the first Jew to have a bris at 8 days old. It's one of the cornerstones of Yiddishkeit, you know, throughout history. It's one of the mitzvahs that the Gemara tells us in Shabbos that it made it. Bris Mila made it. That was, you know, it's the same mitzvah in the Torah as tzitzis and tefillin, but for some reason, Bris Mila, in Russia, there were Jews that were Moise and Nefesh for Bris Mila. So, if you look in source number one, this is something I always think about every time I go to a Bris. This is from the Haggais of Rav Elio Gutmacher. It's in the back of the Gemara Shabbos, and he springs down from the Sefer Oilus Ephraim. That he says a skula, and I think it's a skula that we all kind of intrinsically know, but it's nice seeing it inside, and that is that when the baby is crying, you should daven. That's a very strong time to daven. Because the cry of the baby, it goes straight up to Shemayim. The cry of the baby is an unbelievable piercing cry and goes straight up to Shemayim. So you want to put your tefillah on that cry. And he says it's a great advice. And that's why, by the way, just on a personal level, it drives me crazy. I'm pretty machbid outside of Hashivani. I'll never shush anybody. Outside of Hashivani, I won't shush. It's not my place. Here, I feel like it's my place. I won't do it. I've had people talk over me while I'm davening Shemayim. I won't say anything. I was at a bris, my cousin's bris, and they were talking so loud. And it just bothered me. It just involuntarily brought it out. It's one of the greatest ace rotsons for a Jew to daven is when the baby's crying. So the fact that people don't appreciate that, it's a really, really strong time to daven. And the question is why? What is it about the time of the bris milah that the baby's crying, that all of a sudden, so you say, okay, because I can't stand the baby crying. I don't think anyone else can stand the baby crying, but Hashem is much more sophisticated than that. What's pshat that when a baby cries during the bris milah, it's an ace rotzen for davening? That's question number one. Question number two is, look at the Gemara, look at source number two. Source number two is one of my favorite Gemaras. I've referenced it many times in the past, but I think it's kedai to see inside. And that is the Gemara in Shabbos, daf pei tesem and beis. The Gemara in Shabbos, I think there are extra sheets there. So the first source is that when a baby cries by the bris milah, it's a tremendous time to daven. And we'll figure out why at the end. And number two is a Gemara in Shabbos. The reason why this Gemara in Shabbos I always find is so fascinating is because it sort of turns on your head the personality in Tanakh, right? I mentioned this a couple weeks ago when I spoke on Shabbos, that out of all the Avos, the most mysterious and the one that, you wouldn't want to say this, but like the one that sounds the toughest and the scariest is Yitzchak Avinu. Yitzchak is Din and Gvura. And we don't know much about him. There's very little reference in the Torah of Yitzchak. He's come out not found in the Torah. His life is very shrouded in mystery. He shows up, they mention his bris. The next thing they mention is he's 37 having the Akedah. And then he's older and blind. His whole story, and not only that, there's never a parsha about him on his own. He's really here but not here. He's a very mysterious creature. And mysterious personality. And Yitzchak Avinu, he's always known as scary. Gvura, Din. Like out of all the others, if you were going to get yelled at by one of them, you'd pick Avram, and then you pick Yaakov, and then Yitzchak is the last. But the truth is, Yitzchak is very. There's a side thing that we don't know about, and that's the Gemara in Shabbos. The Gemara in Shabbos daf pei tesem beis. You see it inside. It's a Meirdik Gemara. The Gemara says like this: Amar Rav Shmuel bar Nachmeni, Amar Rav Yoinason. Rav Shmuel bar Nachmeni says the name of Yoinason. Ma'idich siv. What does it mean? The pasuk says ki ata avinu. You're our father. Ki Avram lo yadanu. Avram doesn't know us. Yisrael lo yakiranu. Yisrael doesn't recognize us. Ata Hashem Avinu Gaileinu Me'olam Shemecha. But you Hashem, you're our Redeemer. So what does it mean? The Pasuk says that Avram doesn't recognize us, Yisrael doesn't know us, Yaakov doesn't know us. Well, what's going on? So the Gemara says an astounding Gemara, throws everything on its head. Amr lost Lavoi right before Mashiach comes. The Medrash tells us Amr Hakadosh Baruch Hu Avram. Right before Hashem sends Mashiach, Hashem turns to Avram Avinu and he says, Banecha Chatu, your children sinned. Right? By the time Mashiach, we're not going to be that much better. It's getting worse. So right before Mashiach times, the Jewish people aren't going to be on a lower level, unfortunately. So you read the Sadiris. So Hashem is going to turn to Avram Avinu and say, Banecha Chatu, your children sinned. So we know Avram, what's Avram? He's Chesed. So how does Avram respond? Amr Lefaner Baruch Shalom, Yemachu HaKadosh HaShemecha. So get rid of them. Get rid of them. It's astounding. The Amarga then continues. So Hashem says, let me turn to Yaakov. Because Yaakov at least raised Klal Yisrael. So as a parent, when you raise someone, you have more rachmanis. So maybe Yaakov will give me a better answer. He turns to Yaakov Avinu. Maybe Yaakov will be different. So Hashem says to Yaakov, your children sinned. Get rid of them. Okay. Last resort, he turns to Amr Aloy Basabi, time of Aloy Bedadaki Eitza. So Hashem says, in other words, the older man doesn't know and the other one's too young. Meaning, I tried Avram, didn't work. I tried Yaakov, it didn't work. Let's try the third, which is Yitzchak Avinu. Right, this one is too hot, this one's too cold, this one's just perfect. The Gemara says, Amr La Yitzchak Banecha Chatu. So Hashem says to Yitzchak, your children sin. So what does Yitzchak respond? You poke the bear. Yitzchak is Gvura, Yitzchak is Din. Amr Lefan Rabbeinu Shel Olam, B'ni V'lei Benecha. Yitzchak says, Hashem said to Yitzchak, your children sinned. So he says, they're my children. Klal Yisrael's my children, they're my problem now. He says, B'shar Shekdim Lefan V'Nasav V'Nishma Karas Lem B'ni V'Chayri. Right? Yitzchak says, when Jewish people say Nasav V'Nishma, when they're doing good, then Hashem says, B'ni V'Chayri Yisrael, they're my children. All of a sudden, when they're good, they're my children. Hashem says, Yitzchak says, they're your children when they're doing well, but now when they're sinning, they're Yitzchak's children, they're not your children. You're trying to pawn them off on me. He says, B'ni b'chayri ashav, b'ni v'lei b'necha, v'ayir. Yitzchak gets much stronger, and he says, Kama chata. Yeah, Hashem said that I can't handle Klal Yisrael, they're too much sinners. He said, how much sin do they do already? Kama chata, you can't handle this. How much sin do they do already? Kama shenayso shaladim. How long does the average person live? Shivim shana. 70 years is the lifespan of a normal person, in times according to the Gemara. So the person lives 70 years. Okay. Dal esen doleyanasha laya, there's a concept, whether it's accepted lahalacha is unclear, but there's a concept that for the first 20 years you won't be punished in Shemayim. For the first 20 years, there's no punishment in Shemayim. So says Yitzchak, go from 70, you got to truncate it down to 50. And now we're doing 50. Okay. 50 years is the amount of times that a Jew can sin that they'll be punished for. Okay, keep going. Pashul chamishin. Dal chafed lilusa. Half of your life, you're sleeping. Right? If you think about half of your life, you're sleeping. So you can't be sinning when you're sleeping. Down to 25 years. He says, okay, Dal tarti saru palga ditzluyi umeichal de besakise. Half of those 25 years, 12 and a half years, you're going to the bathroom, you're eating, and you're learning, and you're davening. You're not sinning. Half of those 25 years, you're also not sinning. So how much are you left? How much could a person possibly sin in his lifetime? 12 and a half years. So he says, so Yitzchak says, if you can handle 12 and a half, good. If not, I'll split it with you. I'll split it with you. So what you have over here is something unbelievable. Is that Yitzchak Avinu, all of a sudden the one who's so scary, the one who you'd assume, wouldn't necessarily be able to help us when we're sinning, because he's Gvura. Gvura and Din. Din is judgment, Din is scary, Din is tough. All of a sudden when Klal Yisrael is sinning, Avram gets rid of us. Avram lo yadanu, Yisrael lo yakiren. Avram gives up on us, Yaakov gives up on us. All of a sudden comes Yitzchak on a white horse to protect us. It's what's the pshat? What about Yitzchak is doing this? Okay, so let's start like this. This is a concept, like I said, if you've listened to Yossi at all, especially the earlier Yossi. I'm talking like, retro Yossi. In the beginning, when he was very involved in Rav Tzaddik, he still gives a share in Eish Kodesh in Rav Tzaddik, he was very much involved with this. He actually wrote a sefer, I don't think it's printed yet. You could push him to print it. It's a very chashuv sefer, called Torah Sakayim. And it was all based on these concepts. And that is, the Ishbitzer, Rav Tzaddik's Rebbe, basically tells us that there's two different types of relationships that the Jewish people have. Again, this is concepts that we should be familiar with. There's two different relationships. Look inside number three, the Beis Yaakov of Ishbitz. who was the grandson of the son of the Ishbitzer, who was the Rebbe of Tzaddik. So it's that Torah, that lineage, are very involved with this Torah. He writes the following. This is in Parashas Vayera Oislam and Ches. Ki yesh kedushas kinyonis shi'amayse de adam. Says the Ishbitzer, there's two different relationships that the Jewish person could have with Hashem. The first one is what he calls a kedushas kinyonis. It's a holiness that you could acquire, which is the concept that you could build a relationship with Hashem through Torah mitzvahs. There's a relationship that you could build. Most of our lives is focused on this relationship, which is do mitzvahs, avoid averis. You do mitzvahs, you build that relationship with Hashem. You do averis, you break that relationship. Chalila. He says, Yesh kedushas kinyonis, there is a relationship with Hashem which he calls a kedushas kinyonis, acquired, a purchased kedusha. She had a ma'isa adam, that's built by you. Ki b'mashi yisagal mitzvahs ma'isim tovim harbe, by doing mitzvahs, and by keeping Torah, and by davening, and saying Tehillim, and being a good Jewish boy and a good Jewish girl. So what you're doing is, ayodam yikna latzmi kedusha, you become holier. This is the relationship that we're all familiar with. This is life. Building that relationship. So the Beis Yaakov of Ishbitz writes that this relationship he calls a wife. This means marrying Hashem. What does that mean? The relationship of a husband and wife is not a relationship that you're born with. It's not blood. You have to build it. You have to find, go out, work on it, get married, and even once you're married, you have to work on it. It's a relationship that can be built up. But Chalila, we know that it's a relationship that can be severed. Divorce ends that relationship. That relationship is broken. So he says, "B'kedusha zu yesh ba ma'ila b'mashi yigia kapav," and this relationship can be great. The relationship of a wife or of a friend can be very meaningful and very deep because you built it. You chose that person and they chose you. That's very deep. But, "Abul yuchal yesh gam hafsid." This relationship can be broken. And Chalila, there's a relationship that each Jew has with Hashem that can be broken. And he says, "Vizel kumay kininish asheinena atzmis v'yochali yispirid." Divorce is an option, unfortunately, in life. So too, there is a possibility, Chalila, of divorcing Hashem, that you could do averis that break that relationship. Okay, that we're familiar with. I was by the shir. I was actually by that shir. Rabbi Weinberger gives a shir on Sunday mornings. And he gave a shiur once. He wrote an article for the Mishpacha, and it was about Hashem's love for the Jewish people. And he said that it's unbreakable. That was one of the lines that he said. And there was a rav from a certain yeshiva, a regular Elizabeth yeshiva, who took out an article in the next Mishpacha, bashing that shiur from Rabbi Weinberger, that article from Rabbi Weinberger. And Rabbi Weinberger, when I went to the shiur that he gave, he was supposed to give it on a certain topic, but he says, "I want to address this article." That Rav said about Rabbi Weinberger that saying the relationship is unbreakable is a mistake. You could break that relationship. And that was his whole notion, is that through averis, that relationship with Hashem can be severed. And Rabbi Weinberger was saying, Chalila. So the truth is that Rav was right. There is a relationship, says the Beis Yaakov, there's a love that Hashem has for each person, which again, it's like a marriage. It could be built up, but it could be broken. Where's Rabbi Weinberger coming in? So says the Beis Yaakov, the truth is, there's a second, much deeper relationship. Aval yesh oid kedusha atzmis. There's another relationship that we have with Hashem, which is not a husband and wife relationship, which is called a kedusha atzmis. It's what the Baal Tanya writes in Ahava Tivis. It's a natural love that Hashem has for the Jewish soul, regardless of action. It's kedusha atzmis, and he says, "Mashu betolda nikvas b'leiv kol Yisrael." By simply being a Jew, there's a certain level of kedusha. V'gam shaloi midas, not based on anything that you did, you didn't earn it. Poyelis boy leval yifred mitvekas abari baruchu, and that relationship, it is impossible to be severed. That relationship cannot be built and cannot be broken. It's automatic. It's automatic. V'hi nikras b'shem achoisi. This relationship, it's called achoisi. Achoisi means a sister-brother. The love that a brother-sister has, or a father and a child, you guys hear that? It's nice, it's like background music. The love that a father and a child has, and the love that a brother-sister have for each other, is not based on action. You didn't do anything to deserve that. All of a sudden, the baby's born, and the mother loves it. The mother's willing to give up her life for it. Why? Can't explain it. There's something there. The child hasn't spoken to you, hasn't earned any respect. Doesn't matter. It's ahavativis. It's you come from the same DNA, and that itself is enough. So says the Beis Yaakov, there's a relationship that we have with Hashem, which is a husband-wife relationship, which must be built up and can be broken. And that's all of life. All of life, there should be extra sheets. All of life is building that relationship and making sure that relationship doesn't sever. But the truth is, there is a much deeper relationship, which is called Achoisi, which is the relationship that's just an ahabativis. And when people say, God loves you, it's not fluff. It's not empty. It's the truest statement that's ever been said, which is there is an ahavativus. There's a natural love that every Jew has for Hashem and Hashem has for the Jew. Stam, the Medrash tells us that the Jewish people ask Hashem, Bame Ohev son, why do you love us? Haloyach Esav LeYaakov. Yaakov and Esav are twins. They share the same DNA. So how come you love Yaakov and you hate Esav? And Hashem says, I just do. Meaning, this love is not rational. It's not something you could put your finger on. It's a relationship that's just inherent. Just by being a Jew. That's it. And he says, by the way, the Beis Yaakov goes on to say in this week's parsha, Avram Avinu, and I don't want to go into it too long, but in this week's parsha, Avram Avinu keeps on doing something that's so strange. He keeps on telling Sarah to call me my sister. And it keeps on backfiring. She keeps on being kidnapped. And you think that it's just a weird thing. It's like, fool me once, fool me twice. It's just a strange thing. So what's up, Pshat? He's afraid. He's afraid that she's going to be kidnapped. So he keeps on saying, tell my sister. Says the Beis Yaakov, you know what Avram Avinu was saying? Avram Avinu was davening to Hashem that because he's going into Golis, he's afraid that Averis might happen. So he's davening to Hashem, you know, let us tap into that relationship called sister. Because the truth is, you know, you can't live your life by saying, I don't have to keep Torah mitzvahs. Hashem loves me regardless, because that's obviously inappropriate. You have to work on the relationship of husband and wife. But if you do an Avera Chalila, then if you think that it's over, then you tap in. That's the way the Ishbitzer writes, that the relationship of husband and wife is Lichachila. Lichachila, you should only think of Hashem as your wife, as a husband and wife, and therefore you should do your best to only do mitzvahs and avoid averas, because you have to build up that relationship. If chalila you did an avera, then if there's a voice in your head that says that it's over, then you fall back and go into that relationship that is a much deeper relationship with it, which is a sister, which is automatic, unbreakable. And the truth is, Rabbi Shemaiah writes that that's the concept, the deeper concept of taruvus. Taruvus means you can't mix milk and meat. Milk is good on its own. Meat is good on its own. It can't be mixed together. He says that's really referring to this concept of there's two relationships that we have with Hashem, and you can't mix them. Because if you mix them, then you know what you're going to do? You're not going to go to shul ever. Because the second your father says go to shul, or you're going to be punished, well, punished. Hashem's my wife. Hashem's my sister. It's unbreakable. Avi just kept on saying it's unbreakable, so I can't break it. No. There's two relationships. But you always have to remember that much deeper relationship, it does exist, because most of Klal Yisrael, most of life, is focusing on the relationship of husband and wife. But you always have to remember that there's a much deeper relationship, which is blood. That all of a sudden, when a Jewish person is born, Hashem loves him. It doesn't matter. There's nothing he could do. All he could do is, as the Rebbe once said in that video that I mentioned many times of that person, all he said, you can't, he said, there's nothing a Jew can do to make himself not a Jew. He could just complicate himself. That's all you can do. By breaking the relationship between husband and wife, what you're doing is you're complicating. The avoda of life is by building up the relationship of husband and wife, by Torah and mitzvahs, what you do is then show that relationship between what you're doing is you're showing that relationship of brother and sister just externally. That's the avoda. But you always have to remember that it exists, that there's an ahavativus, there's a natural love that Hashem has for every Jew. And that is, again, nothing you can do to break that. And by the way, nothing you can do to build that either. From that perspective, Hashem loves Chaim Kanievsky as much as he loves you, just like a parent loves each child the same, even if one's smarter. I'm assuming. I'm looking at faces. Yes, every parent loves each child the same, maybe differently, but it's not like, oh, he's smarter. That doesn't matter. You know, if Chas v'Shalom, in case of emergency, a mother's not going to say, well, he's smarter, I love him more. That doesn't matter. What defines your relationship is above intellect. It's irrelevant. Oh.
What about Esav, who's a brother and is Jewish also?
True.
And yet
because,
him,
oh, so I'll tell you why. The answer is, one of the unbelievable things that happened by Matan Torah was that this love and this relationship became blood. It was now passed down by having a Jewish mother. This relationship existed. Before that, in order to acquire this relationship, what you had to do is you had to believe in Hashem. And Avram believed in Hashem, therefore he had this relationship, and Yitzchak believed in Hashem, and Yaakov believed in Hashem. And you're right, Rav Aryeh Kaplan talks about this, that the identity of a Jew before Matan Torah was anyone who's monotheistic. But that was one of the great gifts that Hashem had, that Hashem gave us, by giving us Matan Torah, he allowed this relationship to exist by every Jew regardless, just by having a Jewish mother, or by converting. Let's go weiter. Number four. The Tzaddik tells us like this, out of all the mitzvahs in the Torah, what is the mitzvah that personifies this relationship, this ahava tivis, this natural love that Hashem has for a Jew that's unbreakable? Which mitzvah is the extension of that? Which mitzvah shows that the most? Says the Tzaddik, the mitzvah that shows that the most is bris milah. Bris milah shows that the most. Why? He says because it's the only mitzvah that a person accomplishes before the 13. Every other mitzvah, you don't fulfill it on your own. Forget about chinuch, but you don't fulfill it on your own until you're a gadol, until you're smart enough to understand what you're doing. Because from the relationship of a husband and wife, in order to build that relationship, you have to know what you're doing. A husband has to know that by me getting her a gift, it's going to make her happy. And if I do this, it's going to upset her. It takes seichel, it takes adult. What's the only mitzvah that a person gets when he's a child? All of a sudden, an eight-day-old, he's old enough to heal, boom, he does a mitzvah. Well, how did he earn the right to do a mitzvah? How is he able to build that relationship if he can't even talk? So says Rav Tzaddik in number four, this is in Sefer Dovr Tzaddik, page 75. Ois bris, the mitzvah of bris milah, hu b'terem yeda hanar, it's when the child doesn't know right or wrong. He can't choose right or wrong to build that relationship of choosing right and avoiding wrong. Shu oisal yahadus malei demi betin. So what's bris milah? Bris milah is the mitzvah that's most connected to that relationship called ahava tivis, that relationship of husband, of brother, sister, of father, child. The closest mitzvah that relates to that relationship is bris milah. That when a child is 8 days old, all of a sudden he's special. He's in the same hospital. There's a Jew and a non-Jew. All of a sudden Hashem says, put a bris milah on that one. His body is different to me. He didn't do anything to deserve this. The answer is, the mitzvah of bris milah is not coming from that relationship that you earn. It's a birthright. See, he says, b'li shum hishtadlus. It's a mitzvah that has nothing to do with anything earned. B'lekach yevshe klali yis poishi so b'gufen mitzara yizeh. Kizein b'yaday, dafa b'shechet yisrael hu. He references a Gemara. The Gemara tells us, the Gemara in Pesachim says, what's the worst thing a non-Jew can do? So the Gemara says the worst thing a non-Jew can do is arayis. What's the worst thing a Jew can do? Doesn't wear tefillin. So Tzaddik says, why can't a Jew arayis also? Unfortunately, it affects Klal Yisrael too. So he says, you know what it means? When it says what's the worst thing a non-Jew can do, it says arayis. What it means is that that part of the body that's involved in arayis, it's not special. But a Jew is special in that area. A Jew is different. Bris milah means that you're different. And therefore, even if you do the aver of arayis, there's a part that you can't touch. It's an ahavativis that can't be touched. And the mitzvah that connects to that the most is bris milah. Let's go a little bit weiter. It's an unbelievable thing. The Gemara tells us, we're actually learning this in the morning. This concept, by the way, that there's a natural relationship, there's a natural love that Hashem has with each of us, and we have with Him, again, unearned. Now, you don't have to work on it. It's there. And by the way, also, for the record, before we go weiter, we learned this together in the beginning of a sefer of Tamid Ani, was it Tamid Ani Imach, that they bring down that there was a magid, there was a litvish magid, who gave a shir. And he gave a shir, and he gave a musar shir. And a breslov or chassid, because they're honest, breslovers are honest, he goes over to him and he says, I enjoyed the shir, but how come I felt nothing? How come, like it was a nice shir, the Torah was nice, but I felt nothing in here from your shir? So the Magid said, this Litvish Magid said, I'll tell you why. He gave a mashal. The mashal is that you have a simple farmer who leaves the small city for the first time. He goes to a big city for the first time in his life. And he sees, you know, inventions that he never saw before. And he sees a guy blowing a bellower, which is that they press down and it blows into a fire. And it makes the fire bigger. And he sees this and he says, unbelievable. He never saw this before. He thought that the way it works is you just blow on a twig and it erupts a fire. So he buys it and he brings it back to his town and he gathers the whole town together. The Maggid says he gathers the whole town together and he says, I'm going to show you this invention. You'll never have to make fire with twigs anymore, no more rocks. I got it. And he starts blowing on the twigs. Nothing happens, obviously. It just blows air. And he's all embarrassed. The whole city's like, what are you? So he goes back the next day to that big town. And he finds the guy who bought it. He said, you sold me a lemon. What are you doing? So the guy said, was there a spark there? He said, no, I just blew it on cold wood. So he said, if there's no spark, what are you blowing on? This helps engulf a flame if there's a spark there. If there's no spark, I got nothing to work with. So the Maggid said, my words will get you fired up if there's a spark. But inside, you're dead, and therefore, there's nothing to work with. There's nothing to work with. So they told this to Rabbi Nassen. Rabbi Nassen said, it's completely not true. He said, every Jew has a spark. Just a Maggid has to know how to find it and how to blow on it. But he said, to say that there's no spark is impossible. Because that machloikis that Rabbi Weinberger had with that Rav from that yeshiva is there's two different relationships. But that relationship of Ahava Tivis, that relationship that's the Bris Mila, that's impossible to break. There's nothing you could do. You can't build it, you can't break it. It's impossible. You can't make yourself not a Jew. It's impossible. Let's go a little weiter. This concept of natural love that Hashem has to us, which again, it doesn't mean that you don't keep Torah mitzvahs. I'd rather you keep Torah mitzvahs. But it's a fallback that you always know that there's something special. That when you walk down the street, there's a big thing that, you know, it's coming up on Hanukkah. One of the big things the Yevanim tried to do, their big thing, and we're still feeling it today, is when younger people try their best to look non-Jewish and to act non-Jewish and to talk non-Jewish. But there's nothing. First of all, you could tell. But even if you can't, you can't tell. But even if you can't, you're different. There's nothing you could do about it. There's an ahava tivis. That bris mila, I don't mean the physical bris mila. What a bris mila represents, you can't change. And you could put all the hats you want, and you could put all the disguises you want. It's not going to change anything. There's two different species, the chlal. So says Rav Tzadik like this. The Gemara tells us in the beginning of Sanhedrin, we're learning in the morning, that kol Yisrael yesham chelik lo'olam haba. Every Jew has a share in the world to come, but there are some averis that you can lose your share. There's some averis you can lose your share. And the Gemara goes through, there were certain Jews, Menashe, Achav, there were certain Jews that lost their share in the world to come. So the Gemara tells us in Sanhedrin, Daf Kuf Dalet Amud Beis, I reference it, it's number 5 if you want to see it. The Gemara in Daf Kuf Dalet Amud Beis says, Darshei Rishumais Amru. There were some Tanoim that were called Darshei Rishumais. They were able to decipher, like, you know, a Roshim is after the ink peels off, yeah? After the ink peels off, I've been there. After the ink peels off, there's residue there. You find something that was there. It's like you have to be decipher. You have to be very sensitive to decipher it. So Darshei Rishumais Amru, even those Jews that don't have a share in the world to come, they still have a share in the world to come. Hashem will give them a communal share. There'll be something. So it says it's something. What does that mean? Either they lost it or they have it. It's binary. Yes or no. You either have a share in the world to come or you don't. Says with Tzaddik, it's because there's two different relationships. The relationship of a husband and wife, that relationship that we have with Hashem, which is the most of life to build up, whereby doing Torah mitzvahs, you build that relationship, but like marriage, it can be broken. That, they lost. But the truth is, there's a much deeper relationship. And that father-son relationship that every Jew has with Hashem, that's unbreakable. Therefore, Darshei Rishumais Amru. The Darshei Rishumais said that although it might seem like they lost their share, deep down, there's still a share. Deep down, it looks like that Jew is not frum, and he looks like a non-Jew, but deep down, they're different. And you have to be Darshei Rishumais. You have to be able to be sensitive, to see something that may not be visible at first. But Darshei Rishumais Amru, that those Jews that were, that was Rabbanim, that were able to see that relationship of a father-son that saw that Ahava Tivis, that natural love that Hashem has for us and we have for Hashem, that Neshama, which is a Nefesh, Alikam, Mimal Mamish, that piece of Hashem that's in every Jew that non-Jews don't have, they were able to see that they have a share in the world to come. And by the way, that's the halacha. I mentioned this once before. The Rikanti writes this. He was one of the Rishayim. He was a big mekubal. That he said that he was once talking to a dibbuk. He was asked to exercise a dibbuk, which you don't have anymore. But people think we do. It doesn't really exist anymore. We have a Kabbalah from the Chafetz Chaim. The Chafetz Chaim said over the last Purim of his life, he used to exercise dibbuks on Purim. And the last Purim of his life, he exercised a dibbuk, and he said that this is the last one. So I'm not into believing it anymore. They like to pop it up nowadays. But the Rikanti writes that he was called to exercise a dibbuk. And by the way, just for the record, completely on the side. You want to know, just completely on the side. The Sefer Shivchei Ari, Zechosh of a Sefer, he writes over there that the Arizal was also asked to exercise a dibbuk. And he was talking to the dibbuk about his journey, the soul's journey. The dibbuk is when there's a soul in the stomach, you know, like exorcism. So the soul said that he was telling its journey. And you know, like, Lahavdil Havi Abdallah, I'm afraid to, you know, like the Christians, you know, they take a cross and, you know, whatever, it compels you, whatever. So in the movies, it gets the things out, right? It gets the soul to leave. Itaka works, but not because of the reason that they say. The Dybbuk said that one of the journeys that he waited, one of the processes that he was in, he went into, I think, an older man, and they brought the local galach, the local priest, to get it out. And the Arizal said, what happened? He said that when the priest came into the room, this is a Dybbuk, is a nesham. It's a soul. It's a very spiritual matter. He said that when the priest came into the room with the cross, he said, I was so revolted, I got out of there. So it works, but not. It doesn't give it a tikkun. It just, the neshama is not interested in staying by a garbage pump. So it left. So itaka works. But the Rikanti said that he was asked to come, and he was talking to this neshama and asking, what did it do wrong? And tried to give it a tikkun. You know, Mishnayis is Mishnah, is the same letters as neshama. It helps. And he was giving it a regiment. And as he was leaving, he said, just let me ask you a question. What did you do wrong? So he lists the averis. And one of the averis that this neshama had done when he was alive was an averis that the Gemara in Sanhedrin says, you lose your share in the world to come. So the Rikanti just said, if you don't have a share, then what's going to be with you? Like, what's your plan now? If you don't have a share in the world to come, like, what's... Just curious. So the neshama said, the Dybbuk said, don't worry. Although I lost my private share, there's a communal share. It's a communal share. Whatever this means, communal share. Obviously, it's not houses, but whatever this means. Hashem, lebal yidach menonidach, Hashem found me a share. By the way, that's this. The relationship of husband and wife you broke through those averis. But there's a much deeper relationship that's unbreakable. And from that relationship, I got a share. Let's just go a little bit weiter. I'll say this outside. Number 6 is the Baal Tanya. The Baal Tanya writes in Perek Yates, and Rav Tzadik discusses this in Sefer Poiket Irkrim, page 26, that we know that there's a phenomenon which I've spoken about many times, which is that you have Jews that weren't religious, weren't observant, but all of a sudden, it's the cross or death, and they choose death. So it was a phenomenon that happened, unfortunately, throughout Klal Yisrael's history, that there were Jews that weren't Shomer Torah Mitzvahs, they weren't Shomer Shabbos, but they would not give up they would not do an Aveira, they would give up their lives. So the question is, how is that happening? So says Rav Tzadik, it's because that relationship, that love that Hashem has for us and we have with Hashem, that's so powerful, throughout your life it's dormant. But all of a sudden, when it has a chance to do the greatest mitzvah of all and show its devotion, which is by Mekadesh Shem Shemayim, by giving up its life for Hashem, all of a sudden that relationship says, hold my beer, I'm taking over. And all of a sudden that comes out. He says that's that relationship showing itself. It shows itself through Mesiras Nefesh. If you look in Sefer Poiket Ikrim, he writes, Alecha haragnu kol hayom, that the Jewish people die for Hashem. We're Meiser Nefesh, unfortunately, for Hashem. So he says, Zu Mila. Rav Tzadik says, this is the Bris Mila. He doesn't explain what he means. What he means is the Bris Mila, which is the mitzvah that personifies something special about this Jew, that it might look like other people, but it's not, it's different. There's a relationship that no one else can understand that Jew has, which is personified by the Bris Mila. That's the motivation that the Jew has to give up his life. Even if he wasn't a big tzaddik, he wasn't Avram Avinu, and he wasn't Yitzchak Avinu. But all of a sudden, he has a chance to be Mekadesh Shem Shemayim, he takes it. Why? Because that's that relationship taking over. Because a son would do anything for a father. And mitzad husband-wife, you won't necessarily die. You know, I'll see you later. But a child? I'm not doing it. The child won't do anything to hurt the father. almost ending like this. He adds a number 7. It's getting a little late, so I just want to mention this also. Rav Tzadik also says that this is also the yisayid of a minig. The minig also, what's the concept of a minig? The concept of a minig is Klal Yisrael saying, we know what Hashem wants. What does that mean? How do you know? A minig, it has no source in the Torah, has no source in the Rabbanon. We know Hashem. Like, well, we know Him. I know what He wants. I know, trust me. It's like, trust me, I know what He likes. That's that relationship coming forth. Let me just wrap up like this. Number 8, we said before that the one mitzvah that personifies this relationship is bris milah at 8 days old. Because at 8 days old, the child is too young to choose right and wrong. And therefore, he's too young to build the relationship of husband and wife. And yet, Hashem all of a sudden says his body is different, his body is special. Because at 8 days old, that mitzvah of bris milah is tapping into that high level kedusha, which is called a havativus. Who was the first Jew to get a bris milah at 8 days old? The first Jew to get a bris milah at 8 days old was Yitzchak Avinu. Yitzchak Avinu is the personification of this relationship. While Avram Avinu chose Hashem and found Hashem and dated Hashem and married Hashem, Avram Avinu is the personification of that relationship of husband and wife. Yitzchak Avinu is born different. At 8 days old, all of a sudden Hashem loves him. Yitzchak Avinu is the embodiment, the physical embodiment of this relationship. He is bris milah. And therefore, going back, we said before that why is it that Yitzchak Avinu is the only one who defends us? Because you know what? Avram Avinu was focusing his whole life on the relationship of husband and wife. So when Hashem goes to Avram and says, Klal Yisrael Chatu, the Jewish people broke that relationship. So he says, okay, Yimachlo Kedosh Shemecha, then get rid of them. Get divorced. Move on. Marry someone else. But Yitzchak Avinu, who's the physical embodiment of this relationship, stands up and said, whoa, but what do you mean they sinned? They're still your kids. Banecha v'loy banai. They're your kids. You can't just end this relationship. Save them. What motivates the Yeshua and what motivates Mashiach is Hashem is tapping into that relationship. Because that's a relationship that can't be broken. So we started with Akasha. Why is it that at a bris milah, the Svarim say, when a baby's crying, it's Paul Yeshua's. It's an Ace Rotson. You want to know why? Not because the baby's in pain. Okay, whatever. So what? The baby doesn't really feel it. I don't know. He's fine. What's the pshat, though? You know what the pshat is? Because when a bris milah is the mitzvah that personifies the love that Hashem has for us, that's so deep that you can't put your finger on. Like a parent loves a child and a havativus. Therefore, when the baby's crying, what that's doing is it's awakening that relationship. That relationship is by kaya ilamais. It breaks through because there's no way you could stop that tefillah. A tefillah that's coming from that relationship of Yitzchak Avinu, how are you going to stop it? You're going to say they don't deserve it? It's not a matter of deserving. A father's going to do whatever he can for the kid. He was a sinner. Who cares? So what? The reason why it's such a big inyan to daven by a bris milah is because the bris milah is the personification of that inyan, of that mitzvah, of that ahavativis. And therefore, when the baby's crying, what you should do by the next bris milah is you should daven to Hashem in the schus of Yitzchak Avinu, in the schus of that relationship, to help you and to help Klal Yisrael and to help whoever you need. Because from that relationship with Hashem is unbreakable. And there's no kitrig in Shemayim that could stop it. Because what are you going to say? They don't deserve it? Yeah, I know they don't deserve it. It's not coming from deserving. It's not coming from action. It's not coming from a relationship being broken. It's unbreakable. That's the big inyan. That's what we have to remember. First of all, we have to remember this. Whenever we daven, should daven from that nekuda, which is to Hashem to help you in Bechina, in the Zchus of Yitzchak Avinu. Because from that relationship, it's unbreakable. And that's the whole inyan bris milah. And that's really where the Yeshua is going to come from. And we all daven that Hashem will remember that relationship, which is because Avram le'yadanu, Yisrael le'yakirenu, the other relationships could be broken, but Yitzchak Avinu, Avinu Ata, Yitzchak Avinu is going to get up and going to help us, because from that relationship is unbreakable. Once again, the Shparuch who remembers that relationship, then the Mashiach will come, which are all waiting, Meher, Mimenu, Amen.